the light that shineth in darkness. Amen. That's what you talked about the other night. That little girl was going home to be with the Lord, and all of a sudden that dark image came into that room, and then that light came through and just dissipated that dark image, and she went home to be with the Lord. What can I say about this man? The only thing I can say is he loves the Lord. Amen. He's been through the valley. He's been on the mountain. God's been with him all the way. If you would, make the man of God welcome this morning, Brother Frank Thacker.
Thank you, Brother Lamont. What a joy it is to be back at Benson Grove. I was sitting there thinking of so many good memories in the camp meetings and how this church has been a blessing to me. And Brother Billy, I'm sure you're watching this morning, and how you and Regina have been such a blessing to our family. And it's always good to come to Benson Grove. I always look forward, even if I'm not preaching, just to be able to come and see you folks and fellowship with you and share the good hand of the Lord and what God is doing. And I'm thankful today for Brother Billy and his ministry. I'm thankful what God has done in the lives of him and many of you here. And we praise the Lord for what God is doing in this place. It's good to have my family. While you're turning your Bibles, please, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And Brother Tim's going to help me out in just a minute here. As soon as he gets ready, we got a little illustration, so he's going to help me out. It's good to have my wife has been with me here several times, and I'm going to ask her. She's over here with Lily, and she's waving. All right, y'all over here to my left, you're all right. And that's my wife, Brenda, and that's Lily Grace. And it's good to have my daughter and her husband, Rebecca and Caleb. And I think this is their first time here, and we appreciate it. And then Ava Lee, I think she went out with the other children to Children's Church. And it's a blessing to have your family with you. Amen. And we spent a few days down east, and so we're on our way home, and we're glad to be able to come here this morning. Turn your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. As it is my custom, if you can stand with me while we read the Word of God, please do so. If it's hard for you to get up and down, we understand that. But if you can stand, please stand as we read. And we're going to try to read the entire 21 verses together. And so follow me along this morning, if you would, please. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days where there was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel and answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call thee not. I lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call thee not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went, lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at the other times, and, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, which I began, I will also make it end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee more and also. If I hide anything from me, all these things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him everything with, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did none of those words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word today. In verse number 3, I want you to see this morning a text verse that we pick out in verse number 3. And the Bible said, And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to praise you today for who you are. Thank you, God, for the marvelous gift of salvation. Thank you, God, for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Thank you, God, today that our Savior bled, suffered, and died, but then he rose again the third day and is seated on the right hand of God today, making intercession for us. And Father, I need thy help today. I cannot preach without the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. I can't do a thing. I can't sing. I can't do a thing, Lord, without thee today. And so, Father, I pray and I covet the Holy Ghost of God. He would unctionize thy servant today. Speak to everyone here today. God, I pray that you'd burn within our heart the message that you'd have for us today. Thank you, God, for the means of internet. Thank you, God, for those listening out there today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, do a work of grace in all of our hearts. And Father, may when we be able to say, when we leave from this place, it has been good to be in the house of God today. Thank you for this wonderful church and for the good pastor. And I pray your blessings on Brother Billy, helping him recover soon. I know, God, he wants to be back. He'd love to be in this pulpit this morning. Father, I thank you for the progress he's made. And I pray your hand would continue to be upon him and mend his body, recover his surgery. And Father, we'll give you glory, honor, praise for all that's done. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. And for Jesus' sake, we ask it. All God's people said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, beloved. I want you to see in 1 Samuel chapter 3 this morning, the Bible said that here there's a passage that Samuel was there with Eli, and the Bible said that Eli had a responsibility to keep the lamps of God burning inside the temple. But something happened, and the lamps went out in verse number 3. I believe this morning we have some lamps that are getting ready to burn out. By way of introduction, I just want to light these candles, and by all means, if you're visiting with us today, we're not turning into Catholics. We're not praying for the dead. We're not lighting a candle. Hey, somebody say amen right there. Amen. But these are for an illustration this morning. I believe in our country, Brother Levon, that there are some lights that are going out. I believe one of the lights that's going out in our country today has to do with our freedom of religion. I mean, listen, you turn on the news and you see people today, there are places in California, the governor has said in California that they're shutting the churches down and that they're going to fine people, they're going to arrest people, they're going to fine them $1,000 if they go to church. Friend, our freedoms are under attack today and the lights are going out in our country. But then I think about also not only the light of our freedom in our churches, but I think about my friend, the light in our families are going out. Oh, gone is the day today that traditional marriage is adhered to. Oh, listen, my friend, in our country today, the Supreme Court just passed recently has granted the same type of agreements and the same type of laws and things like that to those that are practicing alternative lifestyles. Friend, I want to say today that I believe that the lights of our family structure are going out. But then I believe today, my friend, not only the lights of our family and the lights of our freedom, but the lights of our faith. You know something, beloved? We today, we are Bible-believing, God-fearing people. And yet, my friend, as the longer that I preach, the longer I'm in the ministry, I see today that a lot of people have thrown the towel in. A lot of people have turned their back on God. A lot of people, when hard times come, a lot of people forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, listen, our faith is under attack today. But notice something in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And the Bible tells us here that the lamp of God went out in the temple. In 1 Samuel, it is a book of transition. God is going to end the times of the judges, and he's going to institute the time of the kings. In the life of Hannah, you read in 1 Samuel, we find a picture of the godly remnants of the Jews. In the life of Eli here and his sons, we see an overall spiritual decline of a nation. Let's examine chapter number 3. Keep your Bible open this morning. And I want to preach to you a little while on this subject. The lights are going out. The lights are going out. Notice something here in verse number 3. The phrase, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Eli was the priest. Eli had a responsibility. Eli was to keep the lamps burning continually in the temple of God. But yet Eli forsook his duty. Eli forsook his responsibility. He let the lamps go out. He let the oil run out. He let the lights go out in the temple. Oh, what a testimony to the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. Listen to what the Bible said in Leviticus 24, the Lord instructed the nation of Israel, and he said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening until the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Three times in that one passage of Scripture, God said to the nation of Israel, you keep the lamps burning continually. Continually, not just when you feel like it, not just when times are good, not just when you want to, but he said, you've got a responsibility to keep the lamps of God burning. The lamps of God in the tabernacle were to burn continually. They were not to go out. They were not to fade. The oil was supposed to be placed in those lamps. And every day from the evening to the morning, the lights were to be on. My friend, there was a sad commentary. The lamps of God went out in the temple of God. Oh, listen, the Bible tells me here in Leviticus 24 and verse 3, here's what he said, it shall be a statue from one generation to another generation. Your children ought to understand that the lights and the lamps are important. Friend, can I tell you something? I look around this congregation. I thank God for us here today, but I look upon this congregation, I see folk about my age. I see some of you today that's got white hair. Some of you like me, you wish you had some hair. Say amen right there. And now listen, I see people across this country and they're good, solid Christians. But what I don't see a lot of times is the young people coming up. Where are the young people today? Oh, listen to me. We need to keep the lights a-burning. Brother LaVon, we got to keep the lights a-burning. Not just for our generation, not just for the next generation, but if Jesus tarries his coming, we got to keep the lights burning for the next and the next and the next generation, or else old time Christianity is going to be a thing of the past. Are y'all with me? Keep the lamps burning. Someone put it like this. Night reigneth. The lamp of God was going out in the temple. The high priest's eyes were grown dim that he could not clearly see. And both he and Samuel were asleep. Question is, if the lamps and the lights are so important, if God had laid it down and said, you keep them burning, why did Eli let the lights go out? Well, number one, maybe he had forgotten the word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. They tell me, Brother Levon, that 9 out of 10 households in America have at least one Bible. But only about half of Americans, 53%, have ever read any of it at all. Only 1 in 10 has read 1 in 10 has read none of it, while 13% have read a few sentences. 30% say they have read several passages or Bible stories. Listen, I was a child in 1962 when Madeline Murray O'Hara had prayer and Bible reading kicked out of the public school. I remember as a youngster in public school, and some of you sitting here can remember the time that prayer and Bible reading was a standard every day. When you walked in a classroom, you stood and you did a pledge of allegiance to the flag, and you read the scriptures, and you prayed before the day got started. How many of you remember them days? And yet, my friend, and yet, oh, listen, We can moan and groan and say, hey, we ought to put the Bible back in public school. And I say amen to that. I say we need the Bible back in our school, but we need the Bible back in our churches. We need the Bible back in our homes. We need the Bible back in our families. We need the Bible back in our personal lives. And the lamp of God went out. I wonder this morning, how important is the Bible to you? Brother Levon, I've been to some Gideon meetings before. I've been, and they showed me where they had a Bible in Africa, and they took that Bible and they dissected it page by page, and they'd read a page of it and then pass that page. They didn't have enough Bibles to pass around to everybody, but they pass a page from this person to this person to this person, and oh, they was just hungry for the Word of God. And yet here in America, I wonder if we were to take a census this morning, how many of you have spent very much time in the Bible this week? She's getting quiet. Amen. Compared to watching television, I wonder how much time we've spent in the Bible. Men of old gave their lives so we could have this blessed old book. I've read about men like John Wycliffe and John Huss. They burned him at the stake. I read about men like John Knox and Martin Luther. I read about these men that were literally gave their lives for this book. And yet today in America, the Bible is almost non-existent. Why? The lights are going out. Look what the Bible said in verse number 1. In verse 1, he said, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And you say, hey, preacher, that's great. The word of God was precious. Oh, but wait a minute. That word in the Hebrew doesn't mean what you think it means. The word in the Hebrew means it was rare. It was rare. Oh, the Bible tells me in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, listen here. The Bible said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I believe today, how many of you, an amen, would say, I believe Jesus is coming back again. He's coming soon. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Now, I believe this, my friend. In those last days, there'll be a famine of hearing the Word of God. Why did the lights go out? Maybe he had forgotten the Word of God. Maybe he'd forgotten how important it was. Maybe he'd just say, hey, maybe it's like a lot of people today. They get up and they're running late and they say, hey, I don't have time this morning, so I'll wait till tonight. And then they get home and they're so tired and they're so give out. They say, let me just rest a little bit and I'll flip the TV on and watch a little bit of the news. And by that time, my eyes get heavy. And I just can't read anything tonight, preacher. I just can't absorb anything tonight. I'll get up tomorrow morning early and I'll get some time with the Lord. And yet, my friend, the lights are going out. Are y'all with me? The lights are going out. Maybe he had forgotten the word of the Lord, but maybe Samuel here, maybe he assumed Samuel would keep it lit. Here he is, Eli. Maybe he thought, hey, Samuel, that young buck over there, that young kid, he's able to get up during the middle of the night. He's able to keep them lamps a-burning. He's able to put the oil in them lamps. Maybe he just thought somebody else would do it. I read a story one time about four people. And these four people, Brother Tim, was named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. And there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Amen? What are you saying, preacher? I believe that's the case in many of our places today. Well, Brother LaVon, many times people say, hey, you know, I've taught a Sunday school class for a long time, preacher. I've run a bus route for a long time. I've done this with the young people for a long time. I think it's time somebody else just take over. And oftentimes they think somebody else is going to do it, and it ends up nobody doing it. And what's happening? The lights are going out in the temple of God. I don't know, but Eli neglected his duty here. It's a sad testimony when the things of the Lord are not more important to us today. Oh, it's sad testimony today that oftentimes, in the case of churches today, oftentimes things come in the way of other things. Just like Eli was placed in charge of the things of God during that time as both a judge and a priest, are we not, as born-again, Bible-believing Christians, as our brother said a while ago, we've got a duty to perform. There's a lost and dying world out there. If any time we need to be carrying the light of the gospel, it's now, my friend. And yet, the lights are going out. Eli was placed in charge of the things of God as both a judge and a priest. And yet, the lights went out. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its savor, it shall be, wherewith it shall be salted, it is henceforth good for nothing, but it shall be cast out to be trodden under the feet of men. They tell me, I've never been to the Bible lands. I've never been to Israel, but they tell me that over there, when the salt has lost its savor, Brother Charles, when the salt no longer holds back corruption, when the salt no longer is a preservative, when salt has lost its savor, they take it and they throw it out and they trample it under their feet, and it becomes nothing more than pavement for men to walk upon. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? Praise God, it ought to make you thirsty. Amen? How many of you like country ham? Raise your hand. I know my wife's hand's up. You get an old, good old piece of slab of country ham that's been salted and sugar-cured, and son, you sit down with a couple of eggs, and if it's Billy Kelly, about a half a dozen, but anyhow, you sit down and you eat that, and then a little while later, LaVon, you're saying, hey, I got to have me some water. That is salty. That ham is salty. Hey, salt makes you thirsty. And as the children of God today, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. We ought to be making people thirsty for the things of God. We are a living witness. We are a living testimony. Wherever we go, wherever we are, we ought to be telling people about Jesus. Amen? The need of the hour today, my friend, is being salt. And second of all, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And if you're the light of the world, you don't take the light and put it under a bushel. You don't cover it up. But my friend, listen, today we need to be salt and we need to be light in this dark, dismal, despairing world. We need to have some children of God. We need to have some Christians today that will get on fire for God and say, listen, I know it's an evil day. I know it's a dark day. I know it's a despairing day. But by the good grace of God, I'm not going to let the lights go out. Because when they go out, it gets darker and darker and darker. If we this morning were to turn out all the lights in this wonderful auditorium, and if we were to keep those candles burning down here, you could enter that back door and you could walk down here. But my friend, when you're walking away from the light into darkness, it's getting darker and darker and darker and darker. We need some children of God today. We need some old-time Christians today that'll say, not on my watch, preacher. I'm not going to let my light go out. I'm not going to let the church's light go out. I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to stand for right. I'm going to stand for decency. I'm going to stand up in the face of adversity. I'll not cower down with fear. But God has given me the power and the authority to look the devil in the face and say, devil, you have no clue. You have no authority. You have nothing on me today. By the good grace of God, stand in that evil day. Stand in that evil day. But now notice what causes the light to go out. I believe there were many contributing factors. As it is today, there was disobedience, there was fear, there was idolatry, there was lust, there was strife, there was enviness, there was selfishness, all those things. Listen, they'll stifle the light out. I don't care where you're at and what you're doing. If those things are in our lives today, God said we got to deal with those things, or either the light of the glorious gospel is going to be hindered. We can never be all we can be if we've got all those evilness inside of our heart. Today, my friend, purge out the evilness. Purge those things today. We let our light shine. But then notice, second of all, this morning, I find here quickly about this man Samuel, this young boy. He was probably about 6 years of age. Notice what Samuel, he was the type of a young man that all of us should imitate today. The first thing he did, notice in chapter number 3, the first thing I read about this young man is this: he was faithful as he ministered unto the Lord. Read that verses that we just read a few minutes ago. And there Samuel was asleep, and the Lord spoke to him. And he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. He got up and went to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. He said, it's probably the voice of the Lord. I wonder, are we in a place today that we could hear the voice of God? I wonder today if the things of this world has crowded us in and we're so worried and we're so wrapped up. We've got all the other things of this world. It's hard to hear the voice of God. The Bible said, be still and know that I'm the Lord. Listen when he speaks. And here you find that this young boy, probably 6 years of age, when God spoke to him, he said, Lord, here I am. Here am I. What do you want, Lord? I wonder how many of us today could say that. The first thing we read about Samuel, he was faithful that he ministered unto the Lord. In the time, notice in verse 1, in the time that the word of God was rare, in the time that there was no faithfulness, in the time of people turning their back on God, in the time of this nation of Israel, that of disobedience. So this young man said, I'm going to faithfully serve my Lord. I wonder how many of us today could say by the good grace of God, no matter what may come, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't matter what mandates pass. Don't matter what the government may say. Hey, listen, friend, I believe this. Our religious freedoms are at stake today. Let me give you a brief history lesson. I hadn't planned on doing this, but let me give you a brief history lesson. I pastored down the road here about an hour and a half. Some of you may, how many of you in here have ever heard of a man by the name of Shubal Stearns? Anybody? Nobody. This lady over here, you have. Brother Charles, years ago in the 1700s, George Whitfield came to the United States. There was a group of people at Sandy Creek, out there in the, but not far from Ramseur, not far from Ashburn, but there was a little group of people that came and wanted a church to be built. George Whitfield came over here and tried to establish a work of God. But the people did not like it under George Whitfield, but he had a convert by the name of Shubal Stearns. Shubal Stearns came and all of a sudden began to preach in that little country church. became the birthplace of every Baptist church from the Potomac River all the way to Florida, all the way to Mississippi. Every Baptist church was birthed out of Sandy Creek Baptist Church. At one time in the later 1700s, over 600 people would meet out in the woods of that little church. But there was a governor by the name of Governor Tryon that passed a restriction on churches. He said, and this is before the Revolutionary War, he said that you're going to pay a tax back to the Church of England and it's going to be collected. That church there, they said, will not pay that tax. And you know what Governor Tryon did? I'm giving you a Baptist history lesson. Governor Tryon marched a group of soldiers from Tryon's Palace down in Newbern all the way to Sandy Creek. They came one Sunday morning. They said they gave him one more opportunity to submit. They would not submit. And so those soldiers took five of those church members out there in the churchyard and hung them on a Sunday morning. One thing it did, the church dispersed. It scattered. And because of that, every church from the Potomac to Florida to the Mississippi was birthed. But it all started over religious freedom. Friend, as somebody said, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for everything. The lights are going out. I wonder how many of you this morning say, "Preacher, by the good grace of God, not on my watch, not while I'm in control, not while I've got breath in my body, not while I can lift a hand and say, I'll hold it to the bloodstained banner. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand for what's decent. I'm going to stand for the gospel. I'm going to stand for the church. I'm going to stand for religious freedom. I'm not going to let the lights go out." But notice, real quickly today, in my time about gone, Samuel, he was faithful. He was just a child. But yet, he's found in the temple ministering unto the Lord. What a blessing that is. Our children today need to know what is important. They need to understand where we put our precedence. They need to understand where we put our priorities. They need to understand today what is important to mom and dad will be important to those children. What's not important to them will not be important to the children. Amen. Faith. They need to see us worshiping God. They need to see us going to church. They need to see us willing to sacrifice. They need to see us forsaking all others, trusting Christ. Faithfulness, my friend, faithfulness. The Bible said that in the last days, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he even find faith on this earth? I don't know about y'all, but I want to be in that crowd that says, I want to be one of the faithful ones. I may not be able to do a whole lot, but one thing I can be faithful. I can be faithful to the cause of Christ. I'm not going to scour down. I'm not going to turn my back. I've come too far. I've been preaching 48 years. I've come too far to turn back now. Why? Because the end is in sight. Jesus is coming. There's a better day just on the other side. Heaven awaits. The saints of God are there. No time to turn back now. Samuel ministered to the Lord. Samuel had a humble spirit about him. In this passage, we find that Samuel was a young man. He didn't try to promote himself. Sadly, oftentimes people today, the reason why God removes that candlestick, the reason why the lights go out is because we try to become something that we're nothing. Can I tell y'all something this morning? I'm just an old sinner saved by the good grace of God. If I got what I deserve, Brother LaVon, I'd be in hell when my back broke this morning. If I got what I deserve, I don't want justice. I want mercy because there's a God that loved me. He allowed Jesus to be whipped and beaten and scourged and bled and died for my sin. I'm thankful today. I am what I am by the grace of God. But when a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Oh, listen, you know what happens today? I've seen it many times. People get the big head. Brother LaVon, I'm sure you've probably seen it. Somebody come up to you and say, "Boy, that was the best song." I tell you what, Jesus couldn't have sung that no better. Somebody come up to you, Brother Charles, when you had that Easter drama, they'd come up to you and they'd say, oh, brother, I want to tell you something. You did such a wonderful job. And you know what happens many times? The devil will come, he'll swell our heads out, and we'll get to thinking, hey, I'm somebody when I'm really nothing. Can I tell y'all something this morning? We're all sinners saved by the good grace of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And when pride swells up, you know what happens? The lights start going out. And God, in His great mercy, told us over in Revelation, He told that church over there, He said, repent, or else I'll come and remove thy candlestick out of its place. And notice, I want to close with this morning. Samuel said to the Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, the one thing that God wants you and me to have this morning. You say, preacher, I can't play the piano like that. I can't sing like LaVon can sing. I can't do the things that other people can do. God just says, hey, make yourself available. And if you'll make yourself available, God will find a place to use you. He don't turn nobody down. Make yourself available. Samuel said, I hear your voice. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, thy servant heareth. Look in verse 9. Speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And I wonder this morning, how many of you, in just a few minutes when we give an invitation, would say, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. God, whatever you want me to do, if you want me to pick up trash, if you want me to park cars, if you want me to do this, if you want me to do that, Lord, I'm just here to be available. I want to see the work of God grow. I want to see the church grow. I want to see the light stay on for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm available. I'm available. Notice the last thing. Notice here. Look in verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, every one of them, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Here a young man had a desire to serve God. Brother LaVon, 1972, God called me into the ministry. I was a high school senior. I surrendered to preach and I went to Tennessee Temple. When I came home one time, my dad, and some of you, I'm not going to call his name, he's no longer living, but you can maybe put two and two together if you're into gospel music. My last name is Thacker. My dad's cousin, they used to sing bass, standing in the den when I walked in one day. I was come home from college. He looked at me and he said, well, what are you doing these days? And I said, well, God's called me to preach, and I'm attending Bible college. Brother LaVon, he looked at me, gospel singer, well-known, famous, looked at me and he said, you're a fool. You'll never make any money that way. Well, he was partly right. I never made any money that way. But I remember what old Jim Elliot said, who was a missionary to the Alka Indians. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And in these 48 years of trying to serve the Lord, there's been ups and downs, as Brother LaVon said. Most of you here, some of you may be visiting. I've got a son I led to Christ 30 days, 4 weeks and 4 days before God called him home. He died last year, 38 years of age. There's been some ups and downs. I wish little Ava Lee was in here because I want to share this with her. But on the darkest day of my life, Brother Charles, the day that my son died, and I looked at him and I said, Jonathan, next time I see you, I'll take you fishing in the river of life. My daughter's sitting back there, and I asked her, I said, you want us to ride with you down to, there was a couple taking care of the kids. I said, you want us to ride with you down there to tell the kids? She said, yeah. So we rode down to this couple's house, walked in, and Ava Lee was sitting there, and Ava Lee's 7 years old. And she told Ava Lee that John had went to heaven. Ava Lee cried a little bit. We got our things together and got their things, and we went out and got in the car. We had driven separate, and I'd gotten in our car, and Ava Lee had walked out with Brenda, and Brenda looks at her and she said, "Well, Ava Lee, maybe Jesus will come. We all go up together." And Ava Lee looks at Nana and she says, "But Nana, I won't go because I don't have Jesus in my heart." I walked around the car, Brother LaVon, and I knelt down and I said, "Ava Lee, let me ask you." I said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" She said, "Yeah, he's God's son." I said, "You know what he did on the cross? He died for my sin." I said, "Honey, would you like to ask Jesus to come in your heart?" And there, on the darkest day of my life, when I had just said goodbye to my son, my only son, on that dark day, Brother Charles, I was able to lead my granddaughter to Christ, and she got saved. The next Sunday, I come into church. I walk in. The organist sitting here. I said, "Bonnie, let me tell you what happened." She said, "Don't need to, preacher. Ava Lee's been in here and done telling everybody she got saved. I got to baptize her." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What am I saying? I know this, that if you've been with Jesus, people around you can tell it. I was down in Georgia here recently. We was down there for a month. Had a little lady that had become our friend. She's 89 years of age. She'd come to hear me preach several different times. She got burdened about her son and about her granddaughter. And my wife said, "Would you call her and talk to her on the phone?" I said, "I will." I called her one afternoon, and I began to talk to her, and the Holy Ghost of God said, "Make sure she's saved." And so while I was talking to her, I said, "Jean, let me ask you something. If you were to die today, do you know you're going to heaven?" There was a pause. She said, I really can't say 100% certain." And I said, We can take care of that right here and right now." And so over the phone, I'm down in Georgia, Roberta, Georgia. She's in Burlington, North Carolina. Over the phone, I led her through the sinner's prayer. And I said, "Now, Jean, I can't be there. I can't see your expression. I can't touch your hand. But I said, would you right now by faith accept Jesus as your Savior?" And she did. And glory to God, 89 years of age, she got birthed into the kingdom of God. What am I saying? Keep the lights a-burning. There's still people out there that need to hear the gospel. May God help us today to keep the lights burning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Maybe our pianist will come. Brother LaVon, if you come. I wonder today, how many of you would join me in saying, "Preacher, God knowing my heart, I'm not going to let the lights go out in my watch. Preacher, God knowing my heart, I'm going to serve Him to my dying day." I wonder, could we sing this? "I have decided to follow Jesus." I wonder if we could. That's just on my heart right now. I wonder if we could. I wonder how many of you this morning would say, "Preacher, I made a commitment to the Lord that I've decided to follow Him regardless of what men may say, what men may do, what laws may come down the tube, what restrictions may happen. Dear God, help me as an individual." I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself. "Dear God, help me to keep the lights a-burning. I want to keep them burning for my children, my grandchildren. I want to keep them burning for the people around me." I wonder this morning, how many of you would lift a hand and say, "Preacher, I agree with you this morning. We need to keep the lights on. We need to keep." God bless you. You, yes, yes. Hands up all over the building. Thank you. The lights are going out, friend. The lights are going out. You say, "Oh, preacher, it'll never happen in my day." I wish I could say it won't, but I believe they are. I believe old-time Christianity is under attack today. I believe the fundamentals of the faith are under attack today. We need people to stand in this evil day, having done all Paul said to stand. But maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, maybe you're like my son. Grew up in a preacher's home. Grew up, made a profession of faith, but never was really saved. 30 days before he went to be with Jesus, he got saved." Maybe you're like that 89-year-old lady. Maybe you're like that 60-year-old lady just recently I led to the Lord. Maybe you're like that Roman Catholic young man I led to the Lord down at the tent. Maybe you've heard all those stories, but you never had a personal relationship with Christ. How many today would say, "Preacher, I can lift a hand toward heaven. I know that if I die today, if I breathe my last breath, I'll be in the presence of God. There's no doubt about it. Lift your hand, please. Lift them high. If you're not ashamed, wave it at the Lord today. Amen. Thank you. Take them down. If you could not say that, oh, my friend, today is the day of salvation. While the Holy Ghost of God is here and He's speaking to you, I'll not embarrass you. I'll not single you out. I'll not call you by name. I will pray for you. I'll pray with you. Is there one this morning? Lift a hand and say, preacher, you hit on something today. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me before it's eternally too late? Before I breathe my last breath, I want to know that heaven is my home. Could you raise a hand this morning across this room? Anyone, anyone, young or old, doesn't matter who you are, anyone like that, anyone. Amen. The lights are going out. I wonder how many this morning, when we stand to our feet in just a moment, would grab, maybe men, grab your wife by the hand and come down and get on this altar and say, dear God, not on my watch. I've fought too many battles for the lights to go out. I've sacrificed too many tears. I've waged too much war against the devil to let him win at this point. By the good grace of God, I want to stand in this evil day. Would you stand to your feet now? Heavenly Father, in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus today, we command every demon of hell to depart. We plead the blood of Christ round about this place. Dear God, keep the lights a-burning in our hearts, in our families, in our lives, in our faith, in our freedom, our flag. God, keep the lights burning today in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Many of you raised a hand and said, preacher, I'm with you. We need to stand in this evil day. Maybe right now, while we begin to sing a stanza of invitation, Brother Levon's coming. Would you just slip out of your place, come get around this altar and say, by the good grace of God, I'll take my stand. As for me and my house, I'm going to let the devil know what side I'm on. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord today. While we sing together, would you obey Him today?